Hey, everybody. I want to thank you for coming and seeing me on the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. You know, the last date of 2025 is in Royal Oak, Michigan, December 13th. But we've announced the second leg. It starts up in February, February 13th in Orlando, then February 14th in Tampa. Going to be in Buffalo, February 28th. Boston, March 6th, Philly, March 7th. Go to dansoder.com. The whole second leg all the way through April is on sale, all available at dansoder.com. Just click on the touring button, and there you go. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm sorry I burped. When I get excited, I burp a lot. So it just happens. It's gross, but, you know, you're not in the room. I ain't blowing it in your face. Dansoder.com for tickets. Love you guys. And it's exactly what corporates are.
Yeah.
When you get a corporate, they go,
this
like,
is like the corporate of corporate.
Yeah. When they get a corporate, they'll go like, I did them a lot early in my career, especially when I first started headlining, and like the agency would get them, especially when Billions started. I'd get a lot of like finance bros that wanted to see me do an hour. Yeah. And then I would do it, and they would be like, not good. Mm-hmm. Because they'd be like, well, we don't want you to make fun of us.
Yeah.
We want you to just like be the guy from the show. So I did it a couple times before I was like, oh, these corporates aren't worth the money.
A fucking corporate gig. And I was told, you're not allowed to say this. You're not allowed to say that. Don't cuss. Don't say this. Blah, blah, blah. So then I go do it and it's fine. And then afterwards, all these old white dudes came up and like, you're on the front lines of free speech. You just got to go out there and say it. And I go, you're the dickhead that told me I can't say X, Y, and Z. And they're like, well, you know, in this environment. You should listen to me. Yeah.
That's always weird when, that's like the feeling of a friend's parent watching your comedy. And then they go like, I love all the sex stuff you did. And you go, you what? You're like weird. I wasn't even allowed to watch Cinemax at your house.
Yeah. We had a curfew.
Yeah. What are you talking about? That's weird when you grow up to see your friends' parents as just adults, as just like older adults. There's like when the authority of them leaves.
Oh, yeah. Well, even seeing your own parent like that.
Yeah. Like your mom and you, though, since we both have dead dads, when your dad dies, your mom cuts you a lot of slack. Your mom is like, that's the problem.
I needed some.
My mom was like, oh, you can get high in the garage. And now I'm like, oh, I am addicted to weed. It's pretty bad.
If I behaved in front of my stepdad's family, she would give me a cigarette and a beer.
Yeah. She'd be like, go get it. Go rip it.
It's like, you deserve it. I'd be in the backyard. Like, so
you have a stepdad?
Yeah, they divorced.
How old were you when they got?
Dude, they started dating when I was in sixth grade and then got married and didn't tell me because they didn't want to think anything was like different.
How old was your dad when you died?
He was 37.
How old
were
you? Eight. You were eight. So your mom started dating 3 years later?
He turned 37 10 days before he died. So he was like newly 37.
Damn.
And I've outlived him. Have you outlived your dad?
My dad's 48. So I'm 42 right now. So I got more years.
Outlived mine.
It's crazy. I've thought about that since he died.
It's really fucking weird.
Outliving your dad. Yeah. So you're 38?
I'm 40.
You're 40.
Yeah.
Was the 38th birthday the one?
It was strange.
That
it's
year,
very
like,
strange.
Because another thing, and this is for all the people in the DDC and the Dead Dad Club, the thing that I have hit is where your dad is dead longer than he was alive in your life.
Oh.
So you were 16.
I
was 29 because I was 14 when my dad died. So when I hit 15 years of having my dad dead, I was like, that's crazy. He's been dead longer than he was alive in my life.
Yeah.
You never think about that. Uh-uh. That's like a real, it just puts it in perspective.
Well, it's also like these milestones keep coming up in a way that you don't imagine. Like, you know, that he died in 93 and there's still these like weird milestones I never even thought of that are coming up that you have to face and kind of deal with. But someone the other day asked me if I ever get sad still. And I was like, you know, I don't really, it's like the emotion hits me and I don't allow it to control me with grief. I almost like recognize it, acknowledge it, and then move, like let it move through me rather than let it consume me.
Yeah, I mean,
in a way that used to absolutely consume me.
Oh, it did.
Oh, completely.
I would ignore it. I would just ignore it and get fucked up and be like, ah, he died, but who cares? I'm alive. Woo!
Well, that's the thing. I would ignore it. When my dad died, we never talked about it.
You and your mom never talked about it?
Dude, the first time we talked about the day he died was Christmas 2019.
No way. Mm-hmm. No way. How did you bring that up? Were you just like unwrapping a present? You go, remember when dad died?
Dude, it was like this crazy. Half present.
Oh my God, a loofah, a case of loofah. Remember dad died?
Remember how loofahs didn't exist when he was alive?
That's crazy. Dad would have loved loofahs. Yeah,
he would have loved loofahs.
Too bad he died.
Yeah.
How did he get brought up?
Well, we would talk about him, obviously, but we never talked about the specifics of that day.
Yeah, because your dad died suddenly of a heart attack, right?
No, he died at work in an accident. Oh, and so my mom had to...
I thought he died of a heart attack.
Uh-uh. So my mom had to drive to Philly to pick up his work truck and then drive his work truck back alone. And then she told me, like, all this shit. Like, when she had to identify the body, she flipped out. She locked the door. Yeah. And they had to break in. They had to, like, hit her with, like, a shot and knock her out.
Believe he was dead?
No, dude. She, like, destroyed everything in the hospital. And then she had to go home and tell her 8-year-old son that her...
And you're an only child.
I'm an only child.
Fuck.
And she was a teacher's assistant in the grade below me. And so I'm going to the bathroom and this girl comes up. She goes, are you Ian Finance? I go, yeah. And she goes, oh, your dad died. Your mom went to go find him.
That's how you found out?
What? She's like, yeah, there was an accident. And I just started screaming.
Wait, that's how you found out?
Yeah. And they had to come get me. And then the teacher was like, no, she's there. There's confusion.
She's retarded. She's got to go to a different school. We're sending her to a retard school.
They had to put her down. She's like, Ian's father's not the only one dying today. Yeah.
Sorry. This is Philly rules. You can't reveal the death. Did you? Well,
my aunt died the day before.
Oh,
so they
what, your mom's sister?
No, my dad's.
So your dad's
my dad's aunt, my great aunt.
Okay,
my great aunt. And so we were all like the house the day before, and we were all like being like morbid about like death and everything. And my dad even said, he's like, boy, you better hope I go before your mom, because if it's you and me, you're gonna be in for a world of hurt.
That's really funny.
Because my mom was like, you know, very like, oh, loosey goosey.
Do you ever think about that? About what it would have been like if your mom died, not your dad?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
My life would have, I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead. Dude. If I had to go live with my dad, if my mom would have died, first off, I want to say big shout out to Trish. You can always see the comments in the comments. Someone commented on the Stavros episode a while ago that her birthday was coming up. Motherfucker, you're way past her birthday. Stop acting like you know when Trish's birthday is, motherfucker, because you were way off. So, but thank
dude,
you.
Dude, that's and such I, a good mom. You've got Trish. I've got Gail.
Gail
that's
and Trish. The best. Yeah, Jay's mom's name was Terry. And I was like, so we made a, beautiful. Someone made a sweatshirt that was called TNT Size Queens, and it was two women doing the Predator handshake, Trish and Terry Size Queens. Dude, I'm trying to find that logo. If you have that, please DM it to me.
That's great.
Because I gave my mom a mug, and I don't think she understands what a size queen is. Because she's just like, I love my mug that your fan made, and I'm like, it means you love huge cock. But I think about like, if I were like you, like at middle school, and then they're just like, hey, your mom died. I would have been like, well, I have to move to California. I would have to have moved to Lake County.
Yeah.
And then I would have had to live with my dad and my grandma.
Well, my
and my life would
like,
have been, no offense to Lake County. I did have some good times there. It is a shithole.
Yeah.
I would have been on meth. I would have been on meth by
I'd
the time
have died
I was like.
In a freak fist fighting accident with my dad.
Like, that's so funny. You guys would have taken like, each other over the edge.
Each other. Yeah.
It's like, you would have got big enough to threaten him, you go off. But I think about like, it's obviously I was very sad my dad died. He didn't live with us like your dad lived with you. I always felt way worse for kids whose dads died who were in the house.
Mm.
Because for me, it was like, I think I paid for it. Not in a worse way, but in a different way of like not knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, what it hurt was like, your life got changed. Your dad just didn't come home that day.
Oh yeah.
My life was like, damn, we never got the chance to fix it.
Mm.
Like I was like, we could have fixed it. And then you could have died. And then I could have had
did
this
you
like,
search for dads elsewhere?
Oh,
like, were you always trying to find like
my guy?
Dad?
Until last year, until my therapist broke it to me, it was like, I've talked about this before on podcasts, so I don't want to do it again, but I had this thing with older comedians that I worshipped, like Louis, Chappelle, and Burr, where I really was like hurt that none of them mentored me.
Mm.
And I was really hurt that none of them ever complimented me.
Yeah.
I was at the Cellar, I was at all these places, and I'd had all these stories of my friends being like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then it was in therapy that my therapist was like, yeah, that's just your dad. And then you go, and then now I don't give a shit. Now they're like, Chappelle, and you're like, cool.
Yeah.
Good for Chappelle and Louis. Yeah. But there is like, I think that was what fucked me up, was like searching for a dad. Also, I really wanted all of my mom's boyfriends to work out. I wanted that.
For a second, I thought you meant like weight. I would love that. That's an interesting request. I would love that.
They have to have a better physique.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trish is up at 4 in the morning.
Mark, would it kill you to do some push-ups?
Keith, could you do some weights? Trish is running every morning.
Dude, I remember I saw Goodfellas, and this guy named Al came to pick up my mom for a date, and I answered the door with a baseball bat, and I was like, if you touch my mother, I'm going to break your legs.
And then he's like, he goes, and that's when that Al guy went, you know that pussy's good. He goes, this kid's defending it like that?
Oh, dude, I...
He goes, damn.
I walked in the basement, and they were kissing, and I ran away from home. I ran to my grandparents'
house. Did you like your stepdad when your mom started dating him?
No, and
Did you give him a chance?
No. I was very much an asshole, and I've reconciled it, and he loved my mom and my mom's side of the family and did the best he could. I was very difficult, but Michael Jordan could have been my stepdad. Yeah. I would have been like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know,
but my mom
like trying to sell him to me. Like he had like a leprechaun tattoo on his ankle. She's like, Ian, he's cool. He's missing half of his ear from a motorcycle accident.
That's
was
so
like,
funny.
Fuck him. I don't care.
Yeah. Can you do a backflip on a motorcycle? She goes, would that make it better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, our first like real interaction, he tried to have a catch with me, and that was like me and my dad saying, and I just wanted to be like, dude, chill, all right? But he was trying.
Did you say yes to the catch?
He brought me to the baseball field, and we were talking in the car. He was like, let's go have a catch. We threw the ball like twice, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And they just like brought me back home.
Did he know it was what you did with your dad?
Yes. My mom told him, like, have a catch with him. That'll, you know.
By the way, put on some of his dad's clothes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Put on his work clothes.
His cologne. Put it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take him to the beach. It's you and him, like him and his dad used to do.
I have a paper cut out of his face. Put this over his face.
Make yourself balding up top. Do it.
Bathroom, give him a haircut. They go, hey, look at your dad.
Be Italian, not Irish.
Oh boy, it's Christmas time. I'm telling you right now, this is a gift. My mom doesn't listen to the whole podcast, so she won't hear this, but we got her an Aura frame, these digital frames that you can upload with pictures, and you can download an app, and then you can change what pictures are on it. So it's perfect for an older family member if you want to just give them a digital frame and be like, hey, we took this great picture, upload that, boom, they got it. I love Aura frames. And now that they're a sponsor, I get them for free so I can give them for gifts. The best gifts. Unlimited free photos and video. All you got to do is download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. You can preload the photos, like I said. You can personalize it. And there's a gift box included. That premium stuff. That kind where you unravel it and you go, ooh, this is nice. So for a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames. Named number one by Wirecutter by using the promo code SODER at checkout. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com, promo code SODER. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now so you can get them in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning we sent you at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, ZocDoc. It's your favorite hypochondriac. I've been on ZocDoc longer. I'm a hipster this. Since 2011. I remember going to ZocDoc.com because I was like, who will see me with the limited amount of insurance I had? And good news is ZocDoc's still around. And an app now, so you can just get it on your phone and you can find a doctor in your network near you and get an appointment. A lot of appointments on ZocDoc are within the first 72 hours. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings, not like, oh, I'm going to guess on Google. You actually can see it. Choose a time slot that works for you. Click to instantly book a visit. Appointments through ZocDoc, like I said, usually happen fast, within 24 to 72 hours of booking. So go check out ZocDoc. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder. Are you close with your dad's family?
Well, when my dad died, my mom, and God bless her, she did what she had to do for herself and for me, but she took me away from everyone in his life. And so I didn't see them for like 20 years.
No way.
Yeah. I saw my cousins like every weekend. We were like minivan family of like, you're with us, we're with you all the time.
And then and that then ended.
Ended, yeah.
Abruptly.
Without saying goodbye. Just gone.
And have you ever reached out as an adult?
Yeah. We've reconnected.
And
things are fine and everything. But
were like, they kind of like, yeah, one day our fucking cousin Ian's is not around anymore.
Yeah.
How old were you when you reached out to them?
I had like written letters and stuff and it never got there. And they like wrote to me and it never got to me.
Who does that? Who does the intercepting? Who does the intercepting?
Who do you think's in charge of the mail at my house?
For your mom.
The fucking tooth fairy?
No, my mom. Saying, what about them? What about your letters?
My mom would look in the mail.
Come on, but Gail.
It was such a massive tragedy.
Sure.
That at 40, my age now, she lost her husband. Her son is a fucking lunatic. And anytime we would be around anyone that was in his life, we would come home and I would cry. She'd be upset. And she was like, this can't happen. And so instead of addressing the grief, she just was like, we're shutting that out.
Defense mechanism.
And that's what it is. Yeah. And I can't blame her, you know.
Has your mom opened up at all to grieving your dad? Like, as you've gotten older? Like, I know you guys talked in 2019.
Yeah.
But do you see, like, what I was really impressed with my mom was when my dad died. Now, obviously, they had been divorced for like 9 years, mm-hmm. hadn't spoken, didn't like each other much.
Yeah.
But what I watched was I watched my mom not hate him anymore, which was obviously way different than your parents were together when he died. But like watching my mom go like, I'm not mad. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. What's the point of being mad at
him? Well,
that
my mom's
guy?
Mad at him for leaving.
My mom's
like, if I could grab your dad right now, I would beat the shit out of him for leaving him with me.
That's what I find interesting.
You with
it's like
me.
A reverse.
Yeah.
Like it like cooled the beef my mom and I, mm-hmm. my mom had with him.
Yeah.
But for your mom, it creates a problem.
Well, it was this thing of like they would argue a lot. And I'm pretty sure like, look, they like loved each other. And it's before my dad left for work every day, he'd write me a letter.
Yeah.
So I have stacks of these yellow legal pad letters. And it would always be like a letter to me about like the day before and like what we were looking forward to doing. And then it'd be like, P.S. Thank you, dear, for the lunch or whatever. Just like an afternoon. And so I have like stacks of these. But I've read them and it's like really cute to see like the little like love notes he'd leave to my mom and everything. Sure. So like they would fight a lot when I was younger. And then like for the past like 2 years of his life, it was so idyllic. Like come home from work, I'd run out. The dog would run out, jump in his arms.
Yeah.
He'd be all-time quarterback. The neighborhood kids would come over.
You have that great picture of him holding you up in the car.
Yeah.
And it's like you literally and
it was like that all the time.
That's amazing.
And so when he died, I think my mom felt guilt of like, fuck, we used to argue a lot and for what? And so like she, and they were like getting
like they wasted time
so well. Like, dude, within like 6 months before he died, they were going on like date nights and like really like finding love again. And then it was taken away. And I think that really like fucked my mom. And so again, it was like self-preservation, you know, like she couldn't be around it. And I had some family members come back into my life later and they were like, I'm sorry we left you, but your mom was very depressed and we just couldn't be around it. And I was like, yeah, well, how do you think I feel, dickhead?
Thanks for leaving.
Thanks
me
for leaving, asshole.
Yeah, that lady's a wreck. Let's leave that little impressionable child.
Yeah, let's leave
her.
The kid lost and alone. who people keep disappearing from his life. He'll be fine.
That's the conversation where they go, I mean, she's really bad. You go, and Ian's worse. Later, Gator.
Yeah. We couldn't deal with you screaming at sleepovers and having to be picked up by your family.
I always think about different scenarios of like, your mom goes and gets your dad's work truck, right? And then is driving it home. But I'm just like a regular guy in Philly.
But she didn't know that the horn was changing. Wee wom. So she's sobbing. It's a horn.
But like the thought of her behind your dad's like at the wheel of your dad's work truck, and then I'm like a guy in Philly driving home, and it's like, and you're like, move it, bitch. And you pull up next to her, she's just like
sobbing, just crying.
And they're like, damn, why they ain't paying their employees?
Just listening you to just tears in heaven. Yeah. It's just on the stereo.
Was there any music that came out when he died that still fucks you up? That's what happens to people that lose people. Songs will come out and you're like, well, cool. Now you're tied to this horrific event in my life.
I mean, dude, I found all of his old tapes and I found journals of his that he wrote in his 20s. So like,
damn,
dude,
your dad put a lot of pen to paper.
Bro, he like wrote poetry. He was like the most righteous, coolest dude. And I found all his old records. I found all these old tapes that he made of like mixtapes from different records.
Did he have like a lame name for him? Like super awesome mixtape one? Like
Thunderbird 97. Yeah. Yeah.
Get your dick sucked volume 3. Yeah, yeah. And you're like, dad, come
beat
on.
Beat the sheets. Dirty dick mix. Dad.
What's Sweat Tape 5?
Yeah. What's Remember to Always Pull Out 7? Yeah. What is that about?
He goes, Busting Nuts 17.
But dude, I'm telling you, like, even after he died, we had such a connection for me to learn who he was through his journals.
That's incredible.
Through his music. And like, even reading his journals, dude, I found that he was a really bad fucking, he was sober when he died. He got sober before I got born, but he was an intravenous drug user. He was an alcoholic. He used to have so many DUIs that he would like buy used cards without like a title so he wouldn't have to register it and get
a workaround.
So like
that's how you know booze rules.
And I read how he struggled to get sober and how he got sober, like in his own words. And then went through this. It was, dude, it feels surreal to read this stuff.
All of those,
I have it all
together and safe.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's incredible.
I know,
because my dad didn't leave anything. And then he was like a real bad alcoholic. He like lived with my grandma, and then like he died, and I would stay in the room that he lived in when I would visit her. And so I'd just be like bored at her house, and I'd start going through drawers, and that's when I found out he had DUIs. That's when I found out.
Dude, that's
like,
how I found all this shit rummaging through stuff.
I was just going through my grandma's, and it was like, but I didn't find any diaries of him being smart. I just found like,
I found out he dated a nurse so he could get clean needles. Like he was a fucking smart dude.
That guy could put it together.
Yo, and this is wild too. I found somehow an ex-girlfriend of his found me on Facebook, the woman he dated before my mom, and we connected. And she told me these stories about my dad. She lived in Long Island. He used to ride his motorcycle up to New York.
What?
And like wanted to settle down. She was like, no, like I want to still be like a young whatever. And so then like he ended up being like, well, I can't be in this with you. And so then he started kind of like wanting to settle down more. It was crazy.
Did your mom know that you talked to the ex-girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Was she cool with it?
She was all right with it. But then we kind of had to stop. We had to kind of stop meeting up because it was like very strange. Very strange.
There's people that you meet that know.
She was very kind, but it was almost like, what is.
Yeah, my dad had a half sister that I wasn't really close with, and I didn't really know. And then, like, she saw me on Billions or something, and she was like, oh my, like, emailed me, like, oh, her son was into my stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I'm your aunt, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'll give it a shot. So there's just like, when you inherit your parents' beef.
Yeah.
Like there's this moment where I was like, yeah, I don't know if you're ever close. Like, you're not telling me anything I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for.
I was told things I didn't know.
I was looking for like,
yeah.
And then this story, and he was very much like this, and they tell me that, and I'd be like,
it was like super sweet. It was very nice. I think I cathartically gave her some things because after they broke up, she didn't hear from my dad, and then one day found out he died. And then I was kind of like bridging a gap of information. She was filling things in with me. You
provided services for each other. Totally. You gave a little bit. I mean, you got a more well-rounded idea of who your dad was.
But also like I was like drinking at the time. So I was like showing up fucking hammered. Like, tell me more about my dad.
She goes, you got your dad's good stuff.
You have a she piece goes, like this? Oh, goes, what do you think?
She goes, by the way, I still got those clean needles. And you're like, yeah, mad little bitch. Yeah. I can see why he wanted to not settle that.
Well, it's funny because my, you know, me and my cousin Sherry, who lives in New York, and she's a comic now. She's the fucking best. Dude, if you ever want to know, like, anything about me growing up, just meet her for 5 minutes. You'll be like, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
She and I were
like...
Was
she one of the cousins that got cut off?
Yeah. So really? It's like... It, but her dad was my dad's best friend. So it wasn't blood. It was like the best friend, uncle, cousin thing, right?
Yeah.
So we got cut off, whatever. And then it turns out, unknowingly, we both moved to New York at 18. We both had fucking... I was a vicious alcoholic. She was a heroin addict. Okay. And we did everything together as kids. Like, we got in so much trouble. And it's a blessing from my father that we were not together.
You would have died.
Because we would have died. Yeah. And we laugh about it all the time. Like, dude, if we were hanging out in fucking Claymont, Delaware together, being two little clay monsters, we'd have been fucking dead, dude. Yeah. I'd have been like, I can bang more heroin than you.
It is. There is, like, there's an interesting thing when you lose touch with people that sometimes you think it sucks and then you realize it's for the best.
Yeah.
Where you go, like, my cousin, who was my aunt's daughter, my dad's sister's daughter, last time I saw her, I was like 7 years old, and mm-hmm. I was like, she was 12, she was my sister's age, she was 12 years older, and I was just like annoying her. I was just the annoying little cousin. But then we didn't talk until I was in like my late 30s.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, why don't you come out? And then I met her and her kids, and now we're in new life, and it's like, oh, well, this goes way better as us as adults.
Yeah, yeah.
Than it was. Like, I probably would have been, when I was a teenager, I was a loud, drunk dickhead.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't have liked me.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like older and I've calmed down and I don't drink anymore.
I used to carry a dildo around and like smacking in strangers' faces. Like, these people would have hated me. Yeah, they would have been like, you are embarrassing your father. In heaven,
it's winter time. It's Mack Weldon time, and Mack Weldon has got that warm kit collection. I'm talking about Sherpa fleece jackets, waffle long sleeve Henleys, wool cardigans. Ooh, you're gonna get warm. You're gonna get so warm. Explore the warm knit collection at MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code DAN20. That's how you know they're making you listen to the ad. They go, we're not going to do this. Our promo code is DAN20. But Mack Weldon, you know their shirts are great. And now they're moving into other spaces, the Sherpa fleece space. And it's pretty sweet. Crafted from Shetland, Mack Weldon's wool cardigan looks heavy but feels light. Perfect for the Sunday morning sweater look you're going for, right? We're all sweater wearers. Mack Weldon's clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. Listen, that's what it is. You want something comfortable? It's not too flashy, but looks nice. So go check out Mack Weldon. Conquer the cold with Mack Weldon's warm knit collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code DAN20. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code DAN20.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Do you think you're like, I wonder what my dad would have been like now, because now we're seeing like what boomers are turning out like.
Oh,
and my dad was like into Rush Limbaugh. Would like read a lot of Rush Limbaugh books.
Dude, my dad took me into the voting booth, and I remember we both pulled the lever for Clinton together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. See, so but my dad was always like for the underdog.
My mom's liberal.
My mom voted Rush or Ross Perot.
That's great. Third party.
Like, I just think he's great.
Can I finish? Gail gets it.
Can I finish?
Can I finish?
Everyone just does Dana Carvey's impression.
Yeah, yeah. Can I finish? Here's the deal.
Whoa, do you think your dad would have been a like a fucking anti-vaxxing?
Yes.
Really?
I think it would have been a problem. Because also where he lived rurally in Lake County, that was the first time when I went up there to stay with my grandma. I stayed with my grandma when Obama won in 08. Like I was at her house when Obama won. My grandma was a Republican, but she was like one of those old Republicans that you're like, I actually think you're a Democrat and you don't know it.
Right.
But she was like, I'm a Republican, but she didn't. She was like, Trump would have called her a rhino because she didn't like Trump. But she was absolutely a lifelong Republican. And I didn't know, because we lived in, if you lived in New York in 2008, you were like, oh, the whole country's voting for Obama.
Yeah.
It was just like crazy. If you were on the East Coast,
yeah,
you were just like, oh, the whole country, like this is going to be a fucking landslide. And then it was when I went to visit her, it was the first time I saw a bunch of McCain Palin signs where I was like, oh shit. In fact, then two nights after Obama won the election, I was driving to the Sacramento airport at night because I was taking like a 4 a.m. flight. So I had to kind of drive down there a little early. And I went into a gas station and I was getting a coffee. Right? Gas station, middle of bumfuck Northern California. Guy comes in riding a bike with a old winter jacket, shorts and work boots. So it's a court ordered bike ride. A lot of those in Lake County. And I remember this specifically. He went, the guy behind the counter, the guy walks in, he's like, hey, what's up, Daryl? He's like, what's going on, Larry? And I'm making the coffee on the side. So I'm taking my time making my coffee, and I hear him go, what do you think of this new president? And he goes, well, he ain't my president yet. And you go, well, he is the president. Like, in my mind, I want to go, he is the president-elect. So technically he is. But I was like, oh, shit, that's where we're at. Knowing my dad and that he liked Rush Limbaugh, he would have been like,
I was in a home.
Pussy. He would have been like, you live in a liberal, tarred city. Like,
I was in a Home Depot the day after Obama won.
Oh, yeah.
And having the guys help me load drywall into the truck was an interesting conversation.
So you don't think he's suitable for the position?
Yeah, I'm getting in the truck to myself. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that word in a while.
That was like, you haven't. And also, that was like when Obama won, you started seeing that side mouth racism where they go, except this motherfucker. Okay, that's where we're at. But I think it's like interesting to know my dad, like I probably would have to tell him like release the Epstein files, and my dad would go, he's not, Bill Clinton's on there too, and you're like, good, behead him. And he'd be like, nah. But I wonder that.
Interesting.
I wonder what my dad would have been like had he stayed alive. I also think I wouldn't have liked him. I don't think I would have. Yeah, because he was a shitty dad. This is something that's interesting about therapy. You uncover that this is something that me and you specifically have both gone through, even though we're in different situations, that my therapist pointed out, and other members of DDC, sound off in the comments, but I'm pretty sure they're right. When you're little and you lose a parent, they are like a superhero, because you're looking up to them.
Yeah.
They're older.
They're your version of God.
Yeah. Well, you're just like, you know everything.
Yeah.
You're exactly. You're omni, you're like, you know everything. Yep. And then as you get older, like how you see Gail is how I see Trish.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom is a woman in her 70s that's like great at cooking and sweet and loves gardening. But she's like, I know she watches the podcast. Sorry to say this. She's an old lady.
Yeah.
She's like an older lady.
Dude.
She's not like an old lady, but she's like an older lady.
Bro, reconciling the passage of time with your mother in just looking at their face.
And you go, you're an older lady.
Such a jarring experience. Like,
well, it makes you feel 10 times older.
Well, my mom's still in the house I grew up in.
Oh, that's
so
wild.
So like when I go home to my mom, it's these memories and places and things.
Yeah.
And sometimes a light will hit a certain way and I can like, it blows my mind. Because sometimes she and I have like leveled with each other and been like, we've been through some shit.
Yeah, I mean,
like it's pretty wild.
I will tell you right now that
to look at that other person and
that is the same connection you and I have. When you have a single mom and an only child, there is a connection there that is weird to explain to other people. That Katie, who grew up with married parents and a brother, when she sees the way that my mom and I are, she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, that's intense.
Yeah.
Because it's just you two.
Yeah.
She's like, your whole world are each other. So she sees kind of like she'll see my mom get like cheer me on, like, you know, when we're like, we play Nintendo Wii. And my mom will be like, great shot. And then Katie will be like, like making fun of me. Because she's like, she's such a boy mom.
So cute.
She's such a boy mom. And she like is proud of me. Yeah. But it's interesting you say that, because I think if we were still in the house I grew up in, that would fuck me up.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh, we were in this kitchen when I was a little kid and now you're an older lady. My mom has her own townhouse. So to me,
that's great.
She's just an old lady that's thriving.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, get it, bitch. Would you want new windows?
Dude, my mom like... leads this ragtag group of like widowed women around town because she was like the first of her class to have her husband.
She's the elder.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so like, follow me.
Oh, Jake is dead. Now we can have fun.
Yes, come, you know? Come into my coven.
I call it no sex in the city. Just all these widowed women running around to pool halls and like, Ian, we shut Stanley's down the other night. I'm like, get it.
And my mom does that kind of stuff. She's in a book club and she like has friends that she hangs out with, they go to dinner. Yeah. And when I call her, it's so funny the different energy of like when she's at home, she wants to talk, she wants to know everything that's going on. It's like the role reversal. It's like when I was out with my friends and she called me like, whoa, hold on, guys, I'm on my way.
Yeah,
I call my mom on, I like to call her, we talk once a week. I usually call her on Sundays. And I called her on Sunday and she was like, I could tell she was out. And I was like, where are you at? You at a friend's house? And she's like, yeah, I'm in the backyard. She's like, I'm with the dog. I brought my dogs over and we're in the backyard. And I went, oh, well, we don't have to talk right now. Like, I'll call you later. She's like, great. All right. I love you. Bye.
And you're like,
oh, this is such a role reversal.
Yeah. And she'll be like, Ian's on the phone. I hear her friends be like, hi, Ian. Yeah. She's like, all right, gotta go. I'll call you later. She's like, good for you.
She's like, Katie's good.
All right.
Yeah. I love you.
Meanwhile, I'm alone in my apartment with a cat on my lap, just like reading quietly.
I hang up and I look at Myrtle and I go, I guess she doesn't want to talk to us today. And Myrtle's like, you know, do dog size. But what's interesting about that is I've watched my mom, it's been, you know, just like your mom, you watch them get older, so you know all of their change. My mom doesn't have a temper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She used to have a temper when I was growing up. Yeah. Now she doesn't have a temper. Mm-hmm. My mom barely drinks anymore, which is like a thing when I was growing up, she drank. So you watch your family members get older and you adjust to them. But when you have a parent that dies when you're a kid, you're stuck at that angle of looking up at them. You're stuck at like, oh, my dad knew everything. So forever, all through my 20s and all through my 30s, I was like, oh, my dad was funny. He was smart. He just had this thing. And then now I'm in my 40s and I'm kind of like, my sister, and we talked about this before on the podcast, I found a letter of my sister's to my dad that was kind of like, hey, I don't know you. You abandoned me. I wouldn't recognize you if we walked down the street. Like, this sucks. I want you in my life.
Yeah.
And also, I think I was like 11 or 12 when she wrote this letter. And she's like, Dan still believes in you. Like, Dan still thinks you're the man.
Oh my God, that's don't so lose heartbreaking. That.
But it is heartbreaking. But with the release I found in it, and this is what I said in therapy, was like, I no longer take my dad abandoning me personally. Because I go, oh, this is just what he did.
Yeah.
He abandoned my sister. He abandoned me.
Right.
This is just what he did. Yeah. He had a kid, stuck around for a couple of years, and was like, yeah, this sucks. And then would dip, and then would just go live with his mom and get blacked out and fuck bar sluts. And that's how he died, where he was just kind of like, yeah, I just want to party, get drunk, and fuck sluts. I don't want any commitment. I don't want any kind of like responsibility. And I was always like, he was the man, because he was the man. He was so funny. He was so smart.
So which dream do you choose to live in? The idealized version of like, he was a man, I love him.
No, or the reality.
He sucked, fuck him.
Since I started, here's the thing.
Or is it not fuck him? He sucks. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what life is.
Mm-hmm.
Life isn't all good. Life isn't all bad.
Yeah.
Life is, he still was very funny. Mm-hmm. Still very funny. Very smart. Read all the time. Would rip through books. Even Rush Limbaugh books, he would rip right through. He was a shitty dad.
Yeah.
Kind of a shitty dude.
Mm.
Probably wouldn't have been a good dad to me when I was in my teens and my 20s. Probably wouldn't have been around. Then I would have been like really resentful of him.
Yeah.
Then I probably would have been a lot more violent.
Yeah.
Then I get to my 20s. I probably don't want to talk to him because my sister, her whole 20s, she's like, why the fuck would I talk to this loser? He doesn't give a fuck about me. And then I started hitting some success. Fucking Waterboy's dad, dude. You'd show up at my wedding and be like,
yeah.
I'm back.
I love you, Sean.
Just like Tago Woods. You would have been like, I seen you on Comedy Central.
You're doing all the voices.
I love that show, Thousands. And it's billions, Dad.
It would have been that. And it would have been like, I would have been getting calls. Hey, pal, my car got repoed. You think you could give your old man a couple grand to get it out? And I would be like,
brutal.
Because life is all those things. Mm-hmm. I would still want to love him. I would still want him. So there would be a, so I'm like, sometimes, and this is for people that have lost parents early. Sometimes you have to wrap yourself around the idea that it might be better that he died.
Yeah.
It might be better for you. And this is a very selfish thought, but it is very true. Might be better that he's dead.
Well,
because then you can mourn him in a way that you can love him in a way that's different than if he would have been around and you would have been like, fuck, you suck, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think of it like, you know, I've had to really learn through my, you know, like therapy and work and reflection and everything, like the sadness and deep emptiness I felt, like the it made me who I am. And so in a way, I'm not like, oh, thank God my dad died.
No, never.
But it's like I'm grateful for who I am today.
Yeah.
So in a way, I have gratitude for what my life has become and what was and what it has turned me into. So in a way, I have the opposite of like, what if he lived and I sucked?
Yeah.
Or like, I was just like a fucking turd guy that had two parents. And then like,
Dad, they're being mean to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, not like, you didn't. Well, also you, sometimes when you lose somebody, especially it's like for a lot, like kids who moved a lot, you come up with these like identities to protect yourself. Mm. And a lot of the times that is being the funny kid. A lot of times that is being like,
well, it influenced daredevil. And inspired every aspect of my life for so long. And like, I was a really bad alcoholic and I lived like, you know, and that just came through like different pain and like trying to figure things out. But I, in the back of my mind, it was always like, I just want my dad to be up there and be proud of me. And so like, even when I was out doing like terrible things, the reconciliation I had was for my dad. And so like having him, this omnipresent, like being in my life kind of almost shaped me in a way more than if he was here. I think maybe that's a coping mechanism.
I think it's both. I think it is a coping mechanism. I also love him so much.
And he was such a righteously cool dude that I want people to meet me and go, oh man, dude, Ian, if Ian's, I want people to be like, well, if you like me, you would have loved my dad.
I really,
the fabric of him is in me.
I can really respect that. And even with everything I said, is that was something that was always like my dad's family. And I'm sorry, shout out to my mom's family. I think they're great. My dad's family was flat out hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like every member of my dad's, my dad, his sister, my Aunt Karen, who was my Aunt Karen, and my sister, Michelle, were all funny.
Yeah.
There was
my cousin Michelle is like the funniest human. There and just my wasn't cousin an Sherry. Unfunny
person. So I think to go with exactly what you're saying, I think that is a sense of pride for me when I'm very, when people call me very funny, I go like, that was the good thing Gary had.
Yeah.
Like Gary really was very funny and I'm glad I can like show people my family's talent.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh yeah, we're funny. Like the Soders are funny.
We had done this stuff when you were younger, probably like drinking, like young emotion would have gotten in the way. But as an older adult, you can almost mold your family and your relationships to be the thing you never had when you were younger, which is so beautiful.
Exactly. There was a moment, and you know, I think people saw the picture on Instagram, but I went to Columbus, Ohio, because Lisa's son, Zach, who's older, he's like engaged, he's 20, he's a awesome dude, installs HVAC units. Hell he's the fucking man. He loves Queens of the Stone Age. And so I was like, dude, why don't I fly to Columbus and we'll go see Queens of the Stone Age? And then he was with me when I got to meet Josh Homme for the first time.
No way.
And I looked over and there was this moment of like, oh, that's my Aunt Karen's grandson.
Yeah.
Like that's a guy that I fuck with.
Yeah.
And I love my cousin and his fiance is unbelievable. And his siblings, his little sister and his little brother and other little sister. And you're just like, You know what it does? It feels like family on your own terms, which is a lot of the times, especially people listening, you don't have a dead parent to feel like this. But sometimes your family feels like it's on their terms all the time, and that can suck because you're like, I don't even want to do this. But when you have family on your own terms, you're like, this is when you, for the first time in my life, I understand when you go like, that's my family.
Yeah.
Like, I love them.
Yeah.
But it's true. But I had to go through all that dumb shit
and cut
and knock some motherfuckers out via Facebook message. Because what's Facebook for if it's not telling an uncle to go
fuck
himself?
I had to do that with a cousin that fucking was like, I hope you get gay cancer. Like, fuck you. And I was like, well, let me tell you right now, if I see you at a family function, it's on site. I can't wait until your kids get involved in a gay interracial marriage, you fucking loser.
To also come
so now
after-
every time they all get together, I got to be like, Gina, is Tony there? Okay, I can't go.
Cleared. But that's the best part about, I mean, my mom's family's great, so our gatherings is just like everyone's together.
Oh, dude, we had a finance family reunion. It was the first time I saw my cousin Sean since we were kids, and we met at a gun range.
I love it.
And I was like, this is the, and then we all got tattoos.
And by the way,
it was the best.
Outside
we
of that,
all got smiley face tattoos.
I love that. People don't get enough credit. Cutting people out of your life is okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes way better for you.
Totally.
Don't be one of those people that's
well, it was funny because we, when we didn't have my dad's side of the family, we were with my mom's side of the family, and they were just like horrific people. But my grandfather raised me with my mom, and so that's what we were close with. But my mom's sister and brother were just like terrible. And then we cut off my mom's side of the family, and that's when my dad's side of the family like came back, and it was like perfect timing.
That's the way to
like,
go.
Yeah.
You go, oh, fuck, the finances are here. Let's fucking rip it.
Yeah.
But do you feel like your mom is in a place where she's dealt with the death of your dad at all? Or do you think it's still very like put away in a box deep down in her brain?
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be better for her if she went through it? Because the boomer generation did not clear out their closet.
I think all I can do is love her in whatever way she presents herself to me at the time
that
I'm with her. And it will do me no good to try to get her to deal with things the way I think she should. She does what she does.
Have you recommended therapy to her?
Dan.
It's so funny when you tell your...
Caught her in quite a few lies.
Really?
I just left the therapist's office, Ian. You'll be so proud of me. Oh, where? Harvey Road? Oh, where on Harvey? Dr. Tomlinson. Oh, okay. And I'm Googling. I'm like, Mom, I don't think that's a place. Ian, stop. I have to go. I'm like hanging up. I'm like, okay.
Like, okay. I'm going to go back in and have another therapy session about this.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, this
it would be funny
crazy.
Though if you went down there and he's like, I'm Dr. Tomlinson, your mother's therapist.
Yeah, you're
at Helium in Philly. He's like, I'm Dr. Tomlinson.
We've made quite some progress with your mother. I'm like, hang on my face, Dr. Tomlinson.
I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah. But it's, I've like, dude, honestly, like, The when I visit my mom, she's in the home I was raised in that all this crazy shit happened in. So every time I go there, I have to like pray and just be like, dude, it is what it is. Just fucking the thing I say all the time is like, let's just Gail. That's Gail being Gail. You got to let Gail be Gail.
When you get older, that's every parent.
Yeah.
You just go, hey, Trish going Trish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, dude, in those letters my dad wrote to me, it's so funny going back and reading them. In so many of those letters, he said, all you have to do is be yourself and everything will be okay.
That's
just
great.
Be, and he literally said, I didn't put this together till later, but he said, just be Ian and things will be fine. That's all we want you to do is just be yourself. And for so long, I hid who I was because I felt like this guy in heaven would be like so upset that I was, you know, kind of gay or whatever,
sure.
Like living a certain way. And it's like, dude, it was so clear as day on the paper the whole time. I was loved no matter what.
Yeah, he loved you.
I was the one that had to allow the love.
That's
it was
fantastic.
There the whole time. Yeah.
That's fantastic. You also, you really get worried about writing letters that he's going to be like, also, I got this new piece of pussy. And let me tell you, girl throws it back.
Dude.
You're like,
dude, reading
a letter
not meant for me.
A letter where he's like,
yeah.
He goes, Trish can't get enough.
and you're like,
stop. Yeah. If you found that? We found a letter, but we found a letter from when my dad was in his 20s after his first marriage. We read it on the podcast.
Really?
He was like pussy whipped. He was like, he was writing a letter to his mom and he was like, I never knew it could be like this. He like, What, this lady let him throw it in the ass? Like, he was like talking about it. We were like,
that's
and
then awesome.
I looked at the date and I looked at his age and he was like 24. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is new pussy. That's what we said on the podcast. It was like a new pussy letter.
That's great.
Where he's like, oh, no one does it like her. She's the best. And then I asked my mom, I go, do you know who this girl? Because my mom got married to him like maybe 3 years after this. Yeah. And I go, you ever talk about this ex-girlfriend? And my mom was like, no. And you're hilarious. Like, so it was
a fly by the night chick. Yeah, he's like, yeah.
He's just abandoned his first family. And he's like, nah, this is it. This pussy's bananas.
Dude, my dad was like magical, man. Like, I'm telling you, in this one journal I found, it was November of 1980, and he kept writing December on the date and crossing it out. And after like 3 days, he's like, I don't know why I keep writing December. I feel like something important is going to happen in December. The December holds a special moment for me, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when he met my mom.
Hey.
He met her like a month to the date letter of when he was writing the December date. And then I was born in December. And it was like, it was just like these weird little things, man. Like,
everything's connected.
That dude has been, I'm so fortunate. Like, yes, I lost him when I was 8, but I got to know him as an adult in a way that I always wished. And like, he and I would always talk about how when we were older, we'd be, you know, watching the sun come up on a front porch in rocking chairs, and like our teeth would fall out. We wouldn't know whose teeth were whose. You know, we'd be these two old men together, right? And I always desired that and always wished for that. And, you know, you said the thing about wanting like a father and like older comics. And I've been so fortunate to have, you know, my friendship and relationship with Attell.
Sure.
And he's very much become like my best friend and my mentor. And he and I have a very special relationship. We talk on the phone like every night. He's the best man. He's really taking care of me. But when I was on the road with him like nonstop for like 5 years, we would just stay up late and chain smoke. And one night we were by this pool at a hotel in this town. We're in these rocking chairs. We're smoking cigarettes, just dying laughing. And the sun's coming up. And in this moment, I was like, whoa.
I got the moment.
This is...
You got the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it is, man? Life is always changing or whatever, but sometimes it changes in a way that you go, oh, I got the thing. It's like a river bend.
Yeah.
And you don't know that sometimes you like you think you get farther away, but then you wind up in that...
Yeah, and if you're looking for it, it won't appear, but if you just allow...
You got to allow it.
And you got to allow it's the like prospect when you get constipated, can happen.
Let the poop come out.
What?
Relax. Relax. Because you know what's funny is I got constipated after I sent my... Literally, I couldn't shit for a week.
Really?
And my therapist was like, yeah, you were emotionally like so like that my shit, and it took me until I relaxed and drank a lot of Miralax, but it came out. You don't know sometimes that life will take you to a place where you go like, I never thought I'd see that person again. I hate him. And then you go,
I
never thought I'd be close with Lisa. Dude, if you would have told me I was close with my cousin Lisa 10 years ago, I would have gone,
you guys
no
might
chance.
Link up and it might be a fucking gift.
But we might fight
here.
And he might kick the shit out of me.
And then you might make up.
He was in Vietnam.
You know?
it turns out homeboy still got a right cross
well,
on
Well, he's pretty old. Just don't wear a conical hat and you'll be fine.
His wife was fine.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Real quick. I've been wanting to say this a while, but I heard years ago that you... were helping your mom out financially and like taking care of her, and I always admired that. Like,
oh, thanks.
I don't know to what extent or whatever that's your business, but I admired that so much, and I've always thought of you and I've always wanted that.
Yeah,
and I have been able to do that with my mom, and it makes me think of you.
Oh, thanks.
When I help my mom out, and that's something I always admired in you, and it inspired me, and so I'm grateful I get to do that today. And so you, without even knowing it, you've really helped
thanks.
Me.
You know, I'm very lucky to do this as a job. Like,
yeah.
The fact that it's even considered a job is never lost on me.
Yeah, same.
And it's never like I was telling my buddy, whenever I walk by a restaurant and I see them setting up a cafe, I'm like, this is where I should be.
Yeah.
This is where I should be.
That's
doing
what I do
right
when
now.
I walk by a graveyard.
But you know what, man? It's like, I really appreciate all the shit. If my mom, you know, I'm not having kids. So I told her, it was like, I'm not having kids, but I can pay your cable bill the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, there you go. And it's like, I don't know, man. I think it's, I don't need a lot. I have enough, and if I can help any of my family or my friends, then it's just a cool position to be in.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just like I wish a lot more people did that, because I feel like the world needs that a lot. Sometimes there's a lot of hoarding going on.
I know.
And it sucks.
I know. It just feels good, though. Like, I just know I put my mom through hell.
Yeah, and that's also why it is.
To be I put my mom through some like, fucking yeah, dog shit. Yeah, dude. I mean, my God. It's like that. Again, like, just looking at her, it's so funny to look at your mom and be like, we've been in the shit, huh, brother?
That is in any
it's single... It's such an interesting moment.
Any only
to have.
Child of a single mom yeah. will tell you that that is the bond where you yeah. go, right, brother?
Yeah.
We'd be going... My mom used to have this phrase where we'd be going through something and she'd go, but hey... We'll get through this.
Yeah.
And it always, whenever my mom would say that, I'd be like, oh, absolutely.
Oh, my mom goes, shit happens, and then you flush it down the toilet, Ian.
Damn. Gail and Trish with knowledge.
Locked in.
The podcast is Being Ian with Jordan Jensen. Yes. Check it out. Download it. Join their Patreon. It's fucking hilarious and very fun to do. Check out everything Ian has. Got that half hour on YouTube. Also, his special that's on YouTube. Go check that out.
Thank you.
He's got a ton of shit.
IanFinance.com for all my dates. IAnimal69 on Instagram. And I have a travel show coming out called Ian Do, an odd guy doing odd jobs on my YouTube.
I love that. Go subscribe to his YouTube.
Thank you, man.
Hercules.
Hercules.
DanSutter.com. Bye.